The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Minister for Defence Helen McEntee, as I said today, unveiled this 1.7 billion euro defence spending plan that will run until 2030. The minister described the plan as absolutely essential. She said its aim is to speed up the modernisation of the defence forces and improve defence capabilities across land, air, sea and online from cyber attacks. In a moment, we're going to be speaking to Paul Murphy and Catherine Callaghan. But before all of that, Conor Gallagher, the crime and security correspondent of the Irish Times, joins us now. So, Conor, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. There was a big press conference this afternoon where the minister gave some detail in the spending of this 1.7 billion. Can you bring me through the highlights of the plan?
Certainly. So, I suppose this is maybe the third or fourth time this has been announced in some ways. These are all things that were signalled in the report of the Commission on the Defence Forces back in 2022, military equipment and capabilities that Ireland urgently needed, according to the report. The government committed to most of this in their high-level action plan a little while later, and then we got broad details of it when they announced the National Development Plan earlier this year. And this just kind of gives us a breakdown of what is involved. So I suppose the big ticket items, or the single big ticket item, is a primary radar system for the country. And there's three strands for this. That would be ship-borne radar, it would be coastal radar, and it would be a primary radar. So essentially it would allow the country for the first time, or authorities, to view what is happening in disguise in and around Ireland, even if those people don't want to be seen. There's also a sonar program for the Navy to detect what's going on underneath the water. So that's a towed sonar array that's towed behind naval ships, and sonar buoys, which are the buoys that you might see in any bay, but that are distributed around the coast and are capable of picking up, you know, suspicious activity. And then there's a stuff that has already been announced, the replacement for the armoured personnel carriers down the line, increasing their armour and their firepower, replacement for the PC-9 turboprop aircraft, which are used to train members of the Air Corps, and lots of other smaller projects amounting to, as you said, 1.9 billion over the course of 5 years.
And there was also mention of new anti-drone technology.
Yes, and obviously that's something that is very relevant right now, given the incident last week where five suspicious drones were spotted off Dublin Bay just after Ukrainian President Zelensky's aircraft had landed in Dublin for his state visit. So what we know about that is that we had no way of detecting these drones except for the eyeballs of the crew on board the naval ship that was out in Dublin Bay, and very limited options for doing anything about those drones if we wanted to. There's no electronic jamming equipment or kind of electronic warfare equipment on the ships, or indeed on land either. So this will, I suppose, eventually aim to do that. What the government is doing is fast-tracking elements of that, so it'll be in place ahead of the EU presidency, which Ireland takes up in July.
So now, do we get any sense of what it will be able to fast-track then? What will we see before that EU presidency begins next summer?
So that's 19 million that will be used to build anti-drone technology, excuse me, around Baldonnel, the Casement Aerodrome, the headquarters of the Irish Air Corps. Baldonnel is where the 50 or so world leaders that are going to be coming in for the summit, the main event of the presidency, they're going to fly in there. So this drone technology will be able to track and, if needed, intercept any rogue drones that might be trying to shut down the airport. Now, there's two options there, main options. There's a missile battery, or there's electronic jamming. A missile battery is obviously very complex. There's concerns there about collateral damage, where the missiles land if they miss their target. And it also requires a lot of training. And missiles are very hard to buy now because all of Europe is rearming. So as I understand it, it's more likely to be an electronic solution. So it'll geofence the area and make it hard or impossible to control a drone in that area.
All right. Conor Gallagher, crime and security correspondent of the Irish Times. Thank you for giving us that insight into some of what was announced today by Helen McEntee. I want to bring in Paul Murphy, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South West, and Catherine Callaghan, Fine Gael TD for Carlow Kilkenny, who's a member of the Oireachtas Committee on Defence and National Security and former member of the Defence Forces. Paul, to come to you first, is there any aspect of this spending that you appreciate is necessary for this country?
No, I think this has to be seen in the context of what Conor said there. All of Europe is rearming. And of course, Europe never disarmed. But it's true that it is part of a massive and global arms race, whereby European Union states are now spending a third more than they were in 2021. And that actually is accelerating even faster. You know, NATO has agreed this target of 5% of the size of the economy of GDP to be spent on the military. And I do not think, and we do not think, it is a good idea for Ireland to join in this global arms race, which is not going to make any of us any safer. It is just going to make the profits of the armaments corporations, who have similarly risen over the past number of years, even fatter. It's also not really possible to disconnect these proposals and the scaremongering we've seen in the last few days in particular from the attempts to undermine what is left of our neutrality. What we're seeing is a coordinated attempt to end Ireland's status as being neutral, to massively expand our military expenditure while we have a massive housing crisis, a health crisis, all in preparation for aligning Ireland further and further with NATO. Okay. And what comes with that is targets of military expenditure.
So you don't think having a primary radar system that can detect if there's been, let's say, interference with the subsea cables that supply electricity, that supply internet, that support our emergency services, or that we would have the equipment other than eyeballs to detect if there are drones, rogue drones in our airspace, you don't think that protects Irish citizens in any way?
No, I don't think so. I think we need to woe up. I don't. I think we need to woe up on the scaremongering that is taking place. There's a massive campaign to make people feel that there's going to be an attack on our subsea cables. We had lurid headlines during the week about how we were going to have lockdowns, we're going to run out of petrol. There's, you know, claims that there was a Russian assassination attempt on Zelensky. And we need to go back to facts, right? Because the first casualty in war is the truth. And the truth is, we don't know. And I hold no torch whatsoever for the Russians, for Putin. We're on record repeatedly at a time when the political establishment in Ireland were licking up to Vladimir Putin. We were opposing Putin. So I'm not saying they're not capable of these things, but I'm saying we should not just jump into going along with a narrative that is out there, which is designed to make us feel unsafe and designed to make us massively increase military expenditure.
So how should we respond to those drones that were seen off the coast of Ireland arrived in the country?
We should demand that all the evidence around them are published, and we should get to the bottom of whose drones were they. And we should resist the drive that is taking place to declare them as being Russian and then to say, as a result, we're going to spend tens of millions of euros on anti-drone technology. And we should remember that when Nord Stream pipeline was blown up, the general kind of dominant narrative was, oh, this was the Russians who blew it up. It is pretty widely accepted now that it was not the Russians, but it was either the US or Ukraine. That's been reported in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, in German media outlets. So we should just be careful about what's going on here and see the agenda that is at play.
Catherine Callaghan. Catherine Callaghan, there is an agenda at play here, and what we've seen in the last couple of weeks is scaremongering.
Thank you, Ciara. I'd like to probably encourage Deputy Murphy to maybe take some of his own advice and get back to facts and stop the scaremongering. The announcement today was an announcement in increasing capability for our defence forces to ensure that our national security is to the forefront of our minds, because in this globally changing world, we need to ensure that we can protect our state and protect our critical infrastructure. I think in July, this was announced that we were going to be investing more money into defence as part of our national development plan. What that money is going to be going towards is an investment in personnel, in equipment and in infrastructure. And, you know, I am blue in the face listening to hearing about, you know, how this has somehow got to do with our neutrality. Our neutrality is enshrined in the fact that our neutrality is determined, I should say, by the Defence Act and the professional, highly professional members of Óglacht na hÉireann will only act in a way that is in accordance with our Defence Act.
So okay, let me bring in Paul Murphy then. Are you trying to conflate neutrality with defence and security?
No, I'm not. But I'm saying it isn't a coincidence that the same government that's looking to get rid of the triple lock so that Irish troops could be sent abroad in NATO-led missions that have no UN sanction. That same government is also trying to ramp up our military expenditure. And it just so happens that a condition to join NATO, which I don't think is on the agenda immediately, but would be down the line, is that you spend a certain amount on the military. So I think we need to look at these in a package and say there is a global arms race taking place. There is, you know, rival imperialist camps in the world. The Irish government wants us to align with one of those camps, and I think it's a mistake. We should oppose both and be neutral.
I think Catherine said, this is about protecting the state and protecting critical infrastructure. That's the dominant force here.
Exactly. That's what they say. But they also speak about a globally changed environment. Take the example of the undersea
cables.
Okay,
so just let Catherine back in there. Back in,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. So what's happening in Europe is there is a war on mainland Europe. There is, Russia have invaded Ukraine. Ukraine are fighting back. They're trying to maintain their peace and stability across Europe. Now, we are part of Europe, and it is important that we are and continue to be good neighbours, that we are doing and playing our part in ensuring that we protect the values that we hold dear. And our critical infrastructure that I already mentioned, that also helps to ensure it protects our democracy, it protects our way of life, it protects information streaming to Ireland as well. And it's really, really important that Ireland's military capability is increased. Now, the idea of speaking about NATO, we have no desire to join NATO. This is not about NATO. Removing the third part of the triple lock still allows us to have a very robust mechanism. And remember as well, the triple lock is in relation to peacekeeping troops that go abroad on peacekeeping missions. It is not about sending our young men and women abroad to fight any NATO war or any NATO mission. That is incorrect. Remember that part one of the triple lock is to ensure that we get very sound military advice. And to go back to my initial point, our members of Óglacht na hÉireann, they are professional. Their guiding document is our Defence Act. They will not go against our Defence Act. They will not disobey a lawful order. They will not suggest that we go in to any operation that conflicts with our policy of neutrality.
The Paul, just to bring you back in there, because one of the points that Catherine just made was that there is a war in Europe. Russia has invaded Ukraine.
Yes.
So they're not scaremongering to say that things have changed globally and that things are more tense now and that there is more pressure on countries to ensure not that they're ready for war, but that they are secure, that they can defend themselves and that they can protect vulnerable pieces of infrastructure.
But that's, I think the game was given away there, whereby, correct, Russia illegally, wrongly, criminally invaded Ukraine. But then there was talk about the need for us to be good neighbours. What exactly is that? Is that why we're breaching our neutrality in terms of training Ukrainian troops? Is that why we're breaching? I have no idea how training one side of a war is not breaching neutrality. I have no idea how sending military aid to one side in a war is not breaching neutrality. That is not to say, I think, Ukraine has every right and legitimacy to resist the illegal invasion. But let's be absolutely clear, it makes a joke of neutrality to suggest that you can go and help one side in a conflict and still maintain that neutrality. And just to be clear, I'm not suggesting at all that the soldiers are going to go and breach our neutrality by themselves in contravention of legal orders. Not at all. What I'm worried about is that they're going to get legal orders to breach our neutrality. And we heard at the Defence Committee, the top civil servant said if it wasn't for the triple lock, Irish troops could have been sent to participate in the invasion of Iraq.
Briefly, legally, Catherine, that could have been 30 seconds.
This is a good day to talk today about the investment in our defence forces. It is about improving and increasing our capability. The money and investment will go towards the very deserving members of Óglacht na hÉireann, the men and women that serve this country with honour. And I think that that's what the focus on this should be, rather than taking it and bringing it into a whole different realm, which it's not about. This is about improving capability. And it's about preparing our country for the future, ready for
Catherine
the future.
Callaghan and Paul Murphy, thanks for joining us on The Hard Shoulder. Miraculous how the government can fast-track millions after a possible attack on another, but can't fast-track a cent for people in Ireland suffering in housing, healthcare and living, says one listener. Another texter, does he not realise decisions will be taken out of our hands, I think this is in reference to Paul Murphy, if we don't protect our country and our waters? It's not scaring people, it's reality in this world. We need to protect our infrastructure. Keep your texts coming in.
The Hard Shoulder
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.